Amen. If you got your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 21. I want to let you get there, get a chance to turn there. Thank you, Brother Pastor Weiss, for having us, the opportunity to be here. It's always good to be in church. Sometimes we take it for granted. I think over maybe the past few months, we've kind of have taken it for granted. Just a little bit, maybe in our minds and in our thoughts, but it's always good to be in church. I'm thankful for church. Church is essential. My name is Jonathan Atkins. I've had the opportunity now to work at First Baptist for 7 years, 4 years at the college, and 3 years as an assistant pastor at the church. Get to oversee music and do a whole bunch of things, wear some different hats, and at the bottom line, we all get to serve the Lord. Amen. And different capacities and different things, and I'm ringing a little bit, but if that, you just tell me. And serve the Lord. Now I get to travel for the summer, and this is week 9, beginning of week 9. We got one more week. We're going to be at Indian Creek Baptist Camp this week, and I get to serve teenagers there and then go home. Praise the Lord. Week number 2, I was like, I'm ready to go home. Week number 3, I was ready to go home. Week number 4, here we are. Week 9, I'm ready to go home. But it's always good to serve the Lord. It's been a blessing. It's been a great summer. I do want to mention Hiles Anderson College was started in 1972 by Dr. Jack Hiles with the purpose of training young men and women to take the gospel of Jesus Christ around the corner and around the world. And now for coming up on 50 years, 48 is what we're at. It's our exact same goal, is to take the gospel around the corner and around the world. And the Great Commission is our goal, and trying to win and reach people for Christ should be the purpose of every church, and should be the purpose of every Christian, is to get the gospel out. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, Jesus said. We'll jump right into the sermon here. Just a couple thoughts. I won't be long at all. I'm a short preacher in stature and in length, so we will. Trust me, we will be long. Told the guys were. I thought the guys were going to wear their masks up here. I would appreciate it because they're so ugly. They sing good, but they don't look good. So I was. Very funny. So I want to ask you a couple questions tonight. We'll jump right into it. Trust me, we will not be long at all. I believe this is a message. I haven't preached this message before. This summer, but I want to ask you a couple. So I want you to give the answer. I'm going to give you two options, and then I want you to respond with the answer. Okay, so I'm going to say something like, let's see here. I'm going to say McDonald's or Wendy's, and then you're going to blurt out which one you prefer. Okay, make sense? Everybody on the same page? All right, good. Now you got your mask on, it'll be all right. So mask on or mask off?
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. They're like, psych. All right. But let's see here. So I'm going to go through some different options, and I want just you to respond. And it doesn't matter. It's your opinion. It's wherever the Lord leads. So I'm going to blurt something out, and then you guys give me your response, and we'll see which one. So McDonald's or Wendy's?
Wendy's.
Oof, that's 50-50. Dunkin' or Starbucks?
Starbucks.
Wow, 50, okay. 50. If I can't hear clearly which one it is, then obviously it's close. Let's see here. Short message, long message? That's not an answer. Okay. Let's see here. Let's see here. Man, I don't want to divide the church in half here. I'm trying to think of things that aren't like offensive. Let's see here. We're gonna go with KFC or Popeyes.
KFC.
Okay, people just with a bigger mouth say KFC. All right, we got you. All right, that's all right. Here we go. All right, Chick-fil-A or KFC.
Chick-fil-A.
See, there you go. Everybody's a Christian here. That's good to know. Good to know. Let's try another one. Say IHOP or Denny's. Okay, restaurant. All right, let's try Walmart or Myers.
Walmart.
Do you guys have Myers around here?
No.
No, sorry, Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee, right? Okay, Hy-Vee or Walmart?
Walmart.
Walmart. Okay, liberals. Gotcha. That's right. It's okay. You say, Brother Atkins, what are you trying to do? I don't have no idea. Just asking your opinion. That's all. Just wanted to know. Ford, Chevy.
Chevy.
Ah, that's good. Neither. I get a motorcycle. Get a moped. It's good for the winter. You know, we all have, you say, what are you trying to do? I'm going somewhere. You know, we all have our opinions. And it's not wrong to have an opinion. Somebody said opinions are like armpits. Most of them stink. Okay? But we won't go there. I teach in the junior high, so there you go. That's where else is coming from. But we all have opinions. And, you know, our opinions really don't matter. It's what God thinks. And the Bible is the final authority, and of all matters of faith and practice. So I want to turn your attention here to 1 Kings chapter 21. It's a story of a man. I'm just going to give you the story, and then we'll jump in and read a few verses. But it's a story of Naboth. And Naboth, the Bible says, owned a vineyard, and the Bible says it was hard by the palace of Jezebel. And Ahab, King Ahab was reigning at this time, and Jezebel was his queen. Jezebel, we all know, was a very wicked queen, and the Bible tells us Ahab was a very wicked king. In fact, probably one of the most wicked kings in the nation's history. We come here to the story of Naboth, and the Bible says his vineyard, it was hard by the palace of Ahab, meaning it was very close, it was very convenient. And the Bible tells us that as Ahab went and out and he looked, and he one day, for whatever reason, woke up one morning or whatnot, apparently he had been there for a little bit at least, being king by this time. He looked out and he decided that Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. So we're going to pick up the story. We're going to read just the first four verses of the story. And I just want to give you a truth from the Word of God that the Lord gave me and stirred in my heart. And preaching is all about taking the fire that the Lord gave me and trying to light somebody else's fire. So tonight we're going to preach a little bit, but I will be quick. But I just want to give you a thought. So let's pick it up here. We already know, kind of gave you the backstory, but 1 Kings chapter 21, let's look at verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab said unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house." Isn't it interesting? Ahab, he says, because it's near, close. It's convenient. So many times, as Christians, we do things that are convenient. Right. Convenient doesn't always mean it's right. In fact, most of the times, doing right will never be convenient. It's always inconvenient to do right, it seems like. Let's keep reading. The Bible says, "Because it is near unto my house, and I will give it, I'll give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." So first he tries to trade him out, and he tries to buy him out. Verse number 3, "And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." Verse 4, "And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased." He was upset. He was throwing a temper tantrum because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, "I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers." And he laid him down upon his bed and turned his face away and would eat no bread. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today and the wonderful blessings that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to love and to serve people, Lord. I pray that you bless the message in the next few moments. Pray that you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth. I pray that we'd walk away here with the truth inside our hearts, Lord, that we can think about, meditate on for the next few days, Lord. We need you. Speak to our hearts now in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Read the story here. Naboth, Ahab wanted his vineyard. All right? All of us want things in life. Like I said, it's never convenient. Most of the time, I say never. Sometimes it is convenient to serve the Lord. I've been in certain places, in certain situations where it has been convenient at that time to do something nice for somebody. And you went ahead. The Bible says, withhold no good thing from them when it's in the power of thy hand to do it. And I think sometimes to serve the Lord, it is convenient. But I would say most of the time, it's not. And there's always things in life that we want, things that we desire to have. In fact, the Bible says in Psalms 37, verse 4, I read it this morning, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And I think to myself, you know, if Ahab was really pleasing the Lord, I believe God would have given him anything. In fact, even when David sinned with Bathsheba, the Bible says that Nathan came to him and said, "Such and such would I have given thee." You know, he became ungrateful for what God gave him. And Ahab here, being the king, probably could have had any vineyard he wanted. But this is what he wanted because it was convenient. And the Bible tells us that when he came to Naboth, and we don't know Naboth's whole story. There's actually this story goes on towards the end. You can find that God actually avenges what happens here, and blood is spilt in this same place, vineyard. But the Bible tells us in the valley of Jezreel, but the Bible says that when Ahab came to Naboth and he asked him for the vineyard, the Bible says Naboth looked at him and said, "How can I can't give you, Lord forbid." He said, "I can't." He said, "How am I supposed to give you the inheritance of my fathers?" I just want to speak to us for a couple moments. Hope the Lord speaks to you. That when I was reading this, I thought to myself, man, there's some things in my life that have been passed down to me. The inheritance of my fathers. I'm not just talking about my earthly father. I'm talking about my heavenly father as well. And sometimes it's very convenient to give those things up at certain times. Extremely convenient. But I like Naboth's spirit here. The Bible says that he looks at Ahab, the king. You know, if you cross the king, you could die. He could put you to death just like that. But Naboth said, it doesn't matter to me. He said, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. He said, there's just some things that I just can't give you. And I don't know, maybe this vineyard had been in Naboth's family for a very long time. A lot of blood, sweat, tears, work, I want to use this word, investment, has gone into what Ahab's asking for. And Naboth looks at him and he says, I can't do that. He said, how am I supposed to just give up something that really doesn't even belong to me? He said, it's been given to me. I'm just a caretaker. May I say to you tonight, your life is not yours. It was given to you by God. You're going to come into this world with nothing. You're going to leave this world with nothing. We're just caretakers. We're just, but the Bible uses the word steward of what God's given us. And Naboth here is a steward of what God, the generations before him, have given him. And I thought to myself, man, there are some things that I can't give up. Maybe you as a Christian can't give up certain things. Maybe, and I asked y'all McDonald's or Wendy's, and y'all said Wendy's. And some of you like McDonald's, amen. Somebody said Starbucks or Dunkin', and everybody said Tim Hortons, because I'm from Canada, and Tim Hortons is the way to go. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, that's all right. We all have preferences. But to be honest with you, if you asked me, if you put a gun to my head and said McDonald's or Wendy's, I would say wherever the Lord leads. You can have whatever you'd like. You say Walmart or Hy-Vee, I'd be like, why go shopping? Walmart, wherever, whatever. Those things in life, they really don't matter. One day when you come to yourself, you're going to realize there's only very few things in life that matter. And the story of Naboth, it really shows something that mattered to him. And this vineyard was just more than a place. It was a belief. It was things that had been passed down to him. It was what had been instructed to him. It was what the Lord had given him. The Bible says, the Lord forbid it me that I should give them. He says, it's just not something that I think. He said, it's something that I believe God wants me to do. I believe that God has given me, and I can't just give it up. This vineyard had been his for generations. Even the king and the queen couldn't have what the Lord had given him. There's just some things that we should not be willing to give up. There's some things that we shouldn't be willing to change. Fighting is necessary for the good things in life. You know, I'm not going to fight you over McDonald's versus Wendy's. I'm not going to fight you over Starbucks versus Dunkin'. I'll fight you over Tim Hortons, but I won't fight you over those. I'm not going to fight you over Walmart. I'm not going to fight you over Chick-fil-A. You know, I love Chick-fil-A. That's great. But, you know, In-N-Out is a good Christian company. I like In-N-Out too. Amen. There's a lot of things that we could fight for. But there are many things that we have to fight for. We should be fighting for. And it's a continuous fight. Paul said, not fighting as one that beateth the air. Or not what is one that fights for nothing or just fights to fight. No, I want my fight to make a difference in the Christian life. Paul said, earnestly contending for the faith. There are just some things that we shouldn't be willing to give up. For evil to win the day, good men just need to do nothing. We must take a stand for what we believe in. The Bible says in Proverbs, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Jeremiah said, I will get me unto the great men. I mean, just challenging tonight, you have to fight for what you believe in. If you're not fighting, you're losing. It's a constant fight. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Come if you want to, come if you will, but I came here to stay. It's a battle. If you don't understand as a Christian that you are in a spiritual battle, you're going to die. You ever seen somebody, can you imagine a battle in your mind, just a battle going on, someone just walking carelessly through like the Singing in the Rain. Da, 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 da. And, you know, arrows are flying by, swords are being clankered, and armor's being struck, and we can bring it today, you know, tanks are zooming by, and gunfire and mortar rounds and shells and things are flying around and somebody just walking through. Sometimes that's how we are as Christians. We're in the middle of a battle. Satan against God, the greatest victor versus the greatest adversary.
fighting head on head, the greatest match. And we already know that God's going to win. But in our Christian life, the Bible says we're in a spiritual warfare. Not physical, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. Yep. This battle is not flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Our battle, sometimes we think that it's just so physical. But really, the Christian life is a battle of the mind. Yep. A battle for the heart. Right. Your life is ground zero, yep, for the devil's and for God's battle. And Naboth was caught in this battle. He knew what he was supposed to do. And Ahab came and there was a battle going on. And I'm sure at times when he said, I'll trade you the vineyard. And you know what? In fact, I'll maybe buy you out. And both of those things he said no. Great principles within themselves. But Naboth here decided to fight for what he believed in. He said, I can't give the inheritance of my fathers unto you. And he ends up dying for what he believes. Not only did he believe something, he stood for what he believed in, and then he ended up dying for what he believed in. I hope we as Christians can do the same. We've given something to believe. We've been given a Bible. We've been given the King James Bible to believe. We believe it's the Word of God. And we ought to believe it and study it and meditate on it. But you know, the Bible, you know what, we have to decide that we're going to stand for the Bible. There's several things. I just got a couple things here listed. Satan will constantly challenge and threaten the property lines of what you believe in. Stick with the old paths, as the Bible says, the plain paths. If God worked in the past, he'll do it again today. God's not limited. In fact, Israel got in trouble. The Bible says, well, you've limited the Holy One of Israel. Don't limit God. Even Jesus said, I did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Just some things that, we won't be long, I'll be done in a couple moments, but some things that we ought to believe. You know, the Bible, your Bible ought to be precious to you.
Yes, right.
The King James Bible.
Yep.
The Word of God. The spoken Word of God. The Bible. It changes lives. When God speaks, things move. Dry land appears. Light and darkness separate. People get raised from the dead. People get healed. When God speaks, he moves. I hope God speaks to your heart daily when you open his word. It's not just something you do because I have to sit down and I have to read my Bible today, and so I'm going to turn to Proverbs chapter 26. Read it today, or is it the 25th today? 25th or 26th? Put me on the spot. I read one of them this morning. All right, I read both of them this morning. Proverbs chapter 26. It's not just something you do, it's something you live. And it speaks to you. The Bible says, ye who are dead in trespasses, I've quickened you, I've made you alive. Even in John chapter 6, you are now clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. By the washing of the water of the word. God's word ought to be important to us. The King James Bible would be filling yourself with the Word, spending time in prayer. Let me ask you, you spend more time watching TV than we do in our Bibles. We spend more time playing video games than we do on our knees in prayer. And we wonder why America's where it is. We wonder why God's power isn't on the preacher. We wonder why God's power isn't on our prayer life. And we wonder why God's not moving. And like Naboth's story, we wonder why we won't stand for anything. It's because we don't believe it. We don't believe it because we don't read it. The Word of God has to be real in your life. It has to have a relationship with God through His Word. It has to speak to you when you know you're doing something wrong. The Word of God speaks to you. When I read my Bible, I ask God every time, I say, God, speak to my heart. If there's something I need to change, let me know. I don't want to do it alone. I want God to work and to move in my life, and I don't want to make decisions alone. I don't want to walk through life alone. When I get on my knees and ask God for things, and when I praise Him and thank Him, I want Him to know that I'm being genuine and sincere in my heart.
Yes, sir.
I have to get the Word of God in my life. Just some things. Don't give up your Bible. How about good, wholesome Christian music? Conservative music? Praising the Lord. Thanking the Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord.
When's the last time you were reading your Bible? You just broke out in song. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. You ought to be thankful for the Word of God in our life. And music. I don't know how your walk with God is and how your Bible time and your reading is. When you combine those two, it gets pretty amazing. I found that sometimes I can't even, I don't have the words to talk to God. Many times in those positions, I find like I find myself just start singing. Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flood, Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, Lord, I need you. Music helps. Have good, conservative, Christian music. Music that doesn't point to anybody else but the Lord. That's something I'd be willing to die for. Be willing to stand for. My Bible. My music. How about this? Purity. Your purity of mind, lips, and your walk. The Bible says this, even your sanctification. Before God ever wants His people happy, He wants His people holy. God promises happiness after you decide to be holy. I don't know where you're at tonight, but purity is a big deal to God. I say this statement in our division. I say purity produces power. Purity produces power. You'll never be a powerful Christian unless you stay pure. Teenager, your purity is very important to God. You stay pure to the day you get married. And that's just not physically, that's mentally. That's with your lips. That's with your mind. That's with your ears. That's with your heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's something that I'd be willing to stand for tonight. Purity. I believe in a pure generation. I believe in a pure people, a pure young person. Because when God looks at that, He says, I can use that. I'm all for God's grace and His redemption and His mercy and how He can use somebody who's broken and He can take the clay and mold it and make it and fix it. But oh, when there's somebody that God can look in His cabinet and look, it's a clean vessel. The Bible says some vessels unto honor and some to dishonor. I hope that we can be a vessel unto honor. And that's just something that you're willing to stand for. Your Bible, your music, your purity. Have two more. How about a hard work? A good work ethic. Honesty. The Bible says that God magnifies his word above his name. So it's an interesting thought. I heard somebody say that, a man is only as good as his word. When God magnifies His word above His name, it shows you that you can trust the Lord. Shows you that you can put your faith in somebody who changes not. Just like a handshake back in the day would represent that it's a deal. It's a done deal. God's word is good. He doesn't need anything added to it, anything taken away. Take Him at His word. Honesty, good work ethic. How about having some high standards? The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know, there's some things that I still believe in. The guys having a sharp haircut. Having conservative dress. Being careful what you post on social media. There's just some things that, you know, as we as Christians, my generation, because I just turned 24. I'm the young person here. My generation, we're so frivolous. We don't care. But the Bible tells us there's supposed to be a difference between somebody who's unsaved and somebody who's saved. Right. Somebody who doesn't have the glorious light of the gospel and somebody who does. And if the Christian can't tell the difference, how do you expect the world to tell the difference? Yeah, if somebody can't look and just say, that is a born-again believer. But the way they dress, the way they talk, what they post on social media, the things that they do, I can't even tell. I'm just telling you, there's some things that in life that I would just be willing to stand for. Just like Naboth was given things, I've been given things, you've been given things. I think my dad, who's been pastoring for 28 years in Canada, he's been given things and he's given things to me, and he expects me to keep those things. He expects me to stay in my Bible. He expects me to be a soul winner. He expects me to have high standards. He expects me to do these things. And greater than that, I have a heavenly Father who expects so much more out of his children. Naboth said, I believe these things, and I'm willing to die for it. And he did. Lastly, we still believe in the gospel. We still believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And that gospel changes lives. If you were to do anything with your life, the gospel should be the focus. It has to be. Before anything else can happen, the gospel has to be preeminent in somebody's life. Somebody has to understand that there was a Savior who was born perfect, sinless, of a virgin, doctrinal. And he lived 33 and a half perfect years, showed us how to live. And then he died on the cross for you and for me. You say, Brother Atkins, why did he die? I have no idea. We can sit here and we can question all day why the God of heaven would send his Son to die for us. The Bible says in Psalms 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. He says, I don't understand why Jesus did what he did. I don't know why he would decide to take up a cross and walk down that road to Calvary with the cross on him, being beaten with everything hanging out, his flesh. But you don't wonder why he did it? He said, I'm doing this to be your friend. I'm doing this to be your Savior. I'm doing this to be everything that you'll ever need. That's the gospel. And then he was put on a cross, and then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, not just to give life to somebody who's on their way to hell, but to give life to a victorious Christian. So that you and I could be victorious. He just didn't die so that people could be saved. He died so that you would look at the cross and say, yes, that was a very dark moment, but 3 days later he rose and I can have a victorious Christian life. We have to understand that there's things that we need to hold fast. And I have no idea where you're at tonight. But let me just encourage you. Believe your Bible. Have good music. The purity of your life. A good work ethic. Hard work. High standards. Soul winning. Reaching folks with the gospel. A perfect Savior. A sinless Savior. Paid for every man's sin. Naboth was given something to believe. To whom is given, much is required. There's many people who have never been given a copy of God's Word. They are not going to be required of as much because they never knew. But Americans, Canadians, first world folks have been given a copy of God's Word. And it's very sad when people in third world countries love the Word of God more, respect the Word of God more, obey the Word of God more, give their life and the very, very extremely little that they have compared to us. They give that to the Lord. Yet we know everything. We probably have 10 of these on our bookshelf. I know I do. And we take it for granted. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. John 17, sanctify me through thy word, for thy word is truth. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. 2 Corinthians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Joshua 1:8, but this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and observe to do according to some? according to a portion, according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt wake many prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. For the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. What's the word of God to you? John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. What's the word of God to you? Is this something you'd be willing to die for? Is this be something you'd be willing to have a hand chopped off for? Have a leg chopped off for? You know, I love playing the piano, but God didn't call me to play a piano. God called me to preach. And this book here is a lot more important than that piano. This book here is worth a lot more than that piano will ever be worth. Because you know what? Us folks, the Bible says that Jesus bought the church with his own blood. Jesus thought it was important. We should too. Yep. Naboth decided that he was going to give his life for what he believed. Are we ever going to get there in America? Probably. Tomorrow? Maybe not. Next week? Maybe not. 5 years from now? Maybe not. 10 years from now? Maybe not. You don't know. I don't know. But I do know that you only believe in that which moves you to action. And if I believe the Bible is the Word of God and the answer for every problem that you'll ever face, then I'd be willing to die for it. I'd be willing to make sure whoever down the line of Christianity gets a copy. Like generations before me, be many generations after me. They deserve the truth. I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Because this is the answer. Not politics. Not masks. Not Wendy's. Not Walmart. The Bible. Yep. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today and the blessings that you're going to sort. Thank you for being such a good God. Thank you for loving us and caring about us. Thank you for sending your son to die for us. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that's not saved, they know right now if they died, they'd split hell wide open. I pray that you'd work in hearts and move, Lord. I believe I've said what you'd want me to say, Lord, and I pray that you'd work and move. Kind of not even the crutch of the message, Lord, but I pray that you'd work and move in a mighty way.